You know, with everything going on in our world, it's easy for us to lose sight of the task that the Lord has given us. There are some people, for instance, who want the church to be involved in social justice and righting every injustice that there happens to be in the world. Others want the church to be a social club with activities for everyone, something to entertain them, to keep them busy. And meanwhile, the real purpose of the church, that of making disciples, is lost in the noise. We have to remember that Christ is the head of the church. And it's His word and His will that determines what we are to do and be. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. It doesn't matter if we understand it all or not. There's no arguing with God's word. The word tells us that God is supreme and Jesus died to set me free from sin by paying the price for me. The word tells me what is expected of me, and I have a choice whether to obey it or not. It's not up to me to make up my own ideas about how things ought to be. Our job as the church is laid out for us clearly in the scriptures, in verses like Mark 16, 15 and 16, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." You see, we're not told to be concerned with filling buildings. We're not told to be concerned with winning friends. We're not told to be concerned with refraining from offending people or making the church more open and inclusive. We even find those who struggle with the gospel itself. They say that the plan preached back on Pentecost was okay for back then, but we need to change it now. Well, if that's the case, the Apostle Paul certainly didn't know that. He said in Galatians 1 and verse 6, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." You see, who are we trying to listen to? Are we trying to please people or are we trying to please God? We need to follow what He says. That's our task, to simply do and teach what He commanded and stop looking for ways around His commands. Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." There's one part of our task. Make disciples, baptize them, take away their sins in baptism. And then the second half of the task in verse 20, "and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." You see, our task is to make disciples, and not only make disciples, but then teach them everything that Jesus has told us. Imagine the audacity of looking into the eyes of Jesus, hanging on the cross, blood streaming from his head, his hands, his feet, and saying to him, "Lord, thank you for your sacrifice, but I know a better way. You didn't really have to do that." And yet that's exactly what we do when we don't follow the words of the Bible. We're saying that to him. When Jesus said in Matthew 16, 15, and 16, "Go and preach the gospel, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, he who does not believe will be condemned," how much clearer could he be? How can anyone miss what he's saying there? When the people asked Peter on Pentecost what they should do, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Acts 2:37, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Paul writes to the Thessalonians and says that not following Christ's instructions, if we don't do what he says to do, if we don't follow the instructions in the scriptures, it's going to cost us our souls. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, "This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish who? Those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the majesty of his power. You see, if we don't do what the scripture says, if we make up some other way, if we say, Lord, thank you, but no thank you, then we're not obeying the gospel. And if we don't obey the gospel, all we have to look forward to is everlasting destruction and punishment and eternity away from God and hell. But many people think that, well, there's a loophole for me and my family. Somehow God's going to make an exception. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, but it doesn't apply to me. It might apply to somebody else. It might apply to the world in general, but not to me. God's going to make an exception for me. But that's not what we need to do. We need not to try to appeal to people by saying, well, God will excuse you for this or that. We need to just do exactly what Jesus said to do. But maybe that's part of the problem. People don't see themselves as sinners. They don't see themselves as lost. They don't see themselves as on the way to hell. They think, well, I'm a good person. God will make an exception for me. But you see, a sinner is simply anyone who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus and had their sins washed away in baptism. We tend to think of sinner as somebody who's done something horrible. It's not the way the Bible describes a sinner. A sinner is somebody who has simply not been baptized. Somebody who hasn't done what the scripture said to do. And if you haven't done that, then you're a sinner. We need to continue the work that Christ began while here on the earth, which is seek and save those who are lost. That's why we're here. We can't forget or get sidetracked from our task. We need to remember that's our job, to preach the gospel. But there's also another need. And the other need is to recapture those who are once saved but who've drifted away and been lost again. If we could just retain all those who had been baptized at one time, the building would be full. Elders, deacons, preachers, and all the faithful Christians become frustrated when those, for some reason or other, stop attending or attend infrequently. There may be rare cases where they weren't cared for properly or weren't taught properly, but the Lord himself spoke about some of the real causes in his parables when he said things like the lack of zeal, lack of real commitment. For instance, their body may have been baptized, but their heart wasn't. They really didn't change. Or temptations of the world and daily stresses draw their attention and time away from the Lord. All kinds of things cause people to drop out, to fall away. There are many people who just, you know, don't realize what we offer. We offer Bible classes, worship, and in the morning, in the evening, Wednesday classes, fellowship on Zoom, personal study, all of those things are available. I even have a person that I'm dealing with now, a Bible correspondence course, and he lives in Arkansas, a little town called Mountain Home, Arkansas. I looked it up. Has 1,200 people in it. That's a nice little town, little resort town. But, you know, he found us online and asked for a Bible correspondence course, and he's in the middle of taking it right now. That's our job, to teach the scriptures, to tell people what's going on, what God wants them to do. But we find people who really have no time for things. They have no time to think about God's word. No time to pray or study the scriptures or attend services or help anybody else. Oh, they got time for sports. They got time for entertainment, for school and work responsibilities, but no time for God. Satan makes sure there's always plenty of things to do. How many times have Christians wept silently as we saw somebody lost to Satan, although we know the opportunities that they had? We tried to get them back and they just wouldn't come. The scriptures tell the results of one who's drifted away like that in places like Hebrews 6 verse 4. For it's impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, who are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, who have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. In other words, they were Christians. They knew what God wanted them to do. They started on the path. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. It's hard to get people back. The world has such a strong pull. Satan is very powerful. Now, those who wandered away are like the prodigal son in Luke 15. You know the story. He wanted his inheritance. He didn't want to wait for daddy to die. So, daddy, give me my share of the inheritance. And then he takes off for the fourth country and he wastes it all. And as soon as he wastes it all of his friends are gone. And now he finds himself in the pig pen starving. And finally he decides, I need to go back home. Luke 15, verse 17, when he came to his senses, when he realized the situation he was in. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. You see, he had to come to himself, and that's the trouble with many in our world. They haven't come to themselves. They don't realize that they're lost. They just, I'm a good person. God's going to make an exception for me. Yeah, the Bible says that, but I don't really believe it. And when you don't really believe it, you're saying to Jesus, looking into him on the cross and saying, I know a better way. Thanks, but no thanks. As that prodigal son composed what he was going to say, and he gets closer to home, his father sees him coming. Runs out to meet him, and he begins to make a speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I know I did wrong. I violated the laws of common sense. I violated the laws of God. But the father's not listening. He says, get the best robe, get some shoes, put a ring on his finger, and make a feast. Why? Why did the father accept him back? Why? For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and so they began to celebrate. You see, it's a beautiful story of God's willingness to forgive, no matter what may have happened in the past. And yet it's important to note that if the son had stayed in the far country, he wouldn't have received the forgiveness. He had to come home. He had to realize the situation. God requires a change of heart, repentance on our part, and an effort to return to him and his ways. You remember the former sorcerer, Simon, who became a Christian when he heard Philip preaching, but he lost his way and tried to buy spiritual powers. And Peter told him in Acts 8, verse 20, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin. It's hard for some people to accept God's way. It's hard for them to simply say, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. I'll follow what you ask me to do. You see, John wrote to remind us that we all need God's grace and forgiveness. And it's available to us if we'll only admit our need and return to him. In 1 John 1, verse 8, we're told, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we've claimed we've not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. Again, people don't want to admit that they're sinners because the idea of sinner is some big, terrible sin. Well, I haven't done any big, terrible sin. I try to live right. I'm a good person. Have you been baptized? No, I haven't done what God told me to do. Well, then you're a sinner. You can call yourself whatever you want, but God calls you a sinner. And you need forgiveness. You see, a person who recognizes their need and comes to God, God says, I'll forgive you. And he said, if we claim to be without sin, if we think everything okie-dokie in our lives, we're deceiving ourselves. We're just fooling ourselves. Because God knows what's really going on. You see, a person who returns to church without repentance, without acknowledging their need, without a change heart, a person who's gone for a while and then just shows up again, has come back only in body, but their soul is still lost. That's why someone who's missing a long time and shows up again usually has the same problems they had before. Nothing's really changed because they haven't changed. And they're going to end up disappearing again because they're unwilling to really repent and return to God completely. But we still have the responsibility to reach out to that person and try to encourage them to return in their heart as well as in their body. Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And James states in James 5 and verse 20, remember this, whoever turns the sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sin. Sometimes I wish I knew what to say. I try to encourage people to obey the gospel. I try to think, Lord, what do you want me to say? And he says, just say my words. Just tell what's in the scriptures. And so that's what I do. I can't make people do what they need to do. I can only tell you what God says you need to do. But as 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20 tells us, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one might receive what's due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We're all going to stand before God in judgment one day. And he's going to look at our lives and he's going to say, did you obey what I told you to do? No one can stand here today before God and say, well, the preacher never told me what I need to do, because this preacher has told you what you need to do. So the question is simply, have you obeyed what the Bible says? Have you obeyed the scriptural plan of salvation? Do you realize that you're lost if you haven't been baptized? Have you been saved? Have you drifted away? What does the scripture say we must do? Again, in John 8, 24, Jesus said, you must believe that I'm the one I claim to be. If you don't, you'll die in your sins. Luke 13, 3, he said, that unless you repent, you'll all perish. We must believe Jesus is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our faith, that we trust him, that we trust his death on the cross, paid the price for our sins. Matthew 10, verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I'll disown him before my Father in heaven. You see, if we don't do what Jesus says, then when we stand before God, and we say, God, look at all the good things that I did. Look at my life. I was a good person. Jesus will say, I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about. That's what the second half of that verse says. Whoever disowns me before men, I'll disown him before my Father in heaven. And you must be baptized, immersed in water, to have your sins taken away by the blood of Jesus. Acts 22, 16. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. You see, the scriptures are clear what we must do, but maybe you've drifted away from complete devotion. Maybe you've gotten caught up in the things going on in this world and not really putting the effort that we should into being Christians. Does the way you live your life keep you from doing what you know he wants you to do? Are there things in your life that you need to just get rid of? Sort of like an old closet, you know, we just pile things up and pretty soon we forget what's in there. And we just need to go through and get rid of those old things so that we can get back to what's really important. Have you ever found yourself looking at the world's pig slop, looking at what the world offers and realizing that's not what I want? Trying to find out what's missing in your life and needing to come to yourself and realize what's waiting for you back home at your Father's house if you'll just come back home to him. The Lord's watching for you today. Won't you take those first steps back to him toward the forgiveness and restoration in your life? Won't you come this morning? Have your sins washed away in baptism. Rededicate any part of your life that's out of line as we stand together and sing our invitation song.